Blog Talk Radio.
5 4 2 5 4 2 5 4 2 5 4 2 5 4 2 what's going on? what to do. Well, anyway, we'll try. We've got a problem here. 542. Okay. Appears we've got a little problem here today. among the birthdays today is the guy who invented vaccination, Dr. Edward Jenner, the last king of Spain before the Spanish Civil War was Alfonso XIII. He was of the Bourbon family, because most of these Spanish kings were all related. Talk about royal incest. Great French actor. Jean Gabin had a great voice. And the last movie he made was a classic robbery film called Refifi. Probably the greatest modern Wagnerian soprano, and she sang a lot of Strauss roles, after the great Kirsten Flagstad. Birgit Nielsen was from Sweden. Kirsten Flagstad was from Norway. A woman died recently. Great voice, beautiful personality. She didn't have any of that ego crap. It's her birthday today. Among the deaths today, the first woman ruler of Russia, Catherine I, the guy who started the New Republic magazine, Herbert Crowley, and, of course, remember Lawrence Welk on the Saturday night, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He died on this date. Among the events today, in 1536, Anne Boleyn's four lovers, or accused four lovers, were executed, beheaded. In 1756, the French and Indian War started, and, of course, George Washington was involved, and he learned a lot about military tactics. In 1804, we had Lewis and Clark. They started their exploration to investigate and explore the Great Louisiana Purchase. And, you know, you use rubber bands on this date. Rubber bands were patented. And, of course, on this day also, the 7th Cavalry, Custer's unit, left Fort Lincoln. And Custer started on his last trip and his last stand. Let's see, what else today? And, of course, many of those soldiers were Irish. And let's see if we have Gary Owen here. I think we do. Here we go. Let's play Gary Owen.
Oh, we can dare and we can do, united men and brothers too, their gallant footsteps to pursue and change our country's story. Our hearts so stout have got us fame, for soon 'tis known from whence we came. Where'er we go, they dread the name of Gary Owen in glory. Our hearts so stout have got us fame, for soon 'tis known from whence we came. Where'er we go, they dread the name of Gary Owen in glory. And when the
There have been several movies about Custer's last stand. Of course, a lot of people, especially Native American heritage, think Custer had it coming. He disobeyed orders. He was supposed to wait for General Terry and be reinforced. And, of course, there was a total slaughter. And Major Reno, who's not related to Janet Reno, the former U.S. Attorney General, he took the blame for Custer's death and all those men who were slaughtered there. So that's how it goes. I was at Little Bighorn in the middle of the night traveling back east, and I walked in the on the field there, and there was nothing to distract me, but I heard the sounds. I heard the sounds of men moaning and dying. had a similar experience at Verdun when I was in Europe, and I stopped there on my way back from Vienna, or Salzburg. So on my way to Paris, and I stopped on what they call Sacre Vide, the Holy Road. And I walked on the battlefield there, and I could swear that I heard sounds of dying men and people who were in pain, moaning, and battlefields are not funny. And, of course, if you were on the other end of a bullet or a shell or shrapnel, you know what it feels like. On this day also, 1884, Alaska became a U.S. territory. In 1938, we had the Vinson Act. This is Carl Vinson, not the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, Fred Vinson. I don't know if they were related. There's another Vinson who was a federal district court judge who ruled in his court that the Obamacare was illegal. And, of course, what a lot of people don't know, what one federal district judges in one federal district, even federal appellate courts in one federal district, if they're not upheld, those decisions in one district are not upheld in another federal district, or there's conflict among the circuits, it's up to the U.S. Supreme Court to keep order among the circuits, and that's what one of the chief functions of the U.S. Supreme Court is, to have uniform decisions and final arbitration by the U.S. Supreme Court of any decisions that are in conflict with one circuit's in conflict with another. And, of course, Carl Vinson was he's known as the Old Swamp Fox, been in Congress about 50 years. The USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier is named after him, and its significance is that, first of all, when the aircraft carrier was stationed in Alameda, at Alameda Naval Air Base in Alameda County, Northern California, Stephen Neri was an airman recruit. And, of course, the whole story of him being stalked, lured, raped, and railroaded. It's been 16 years. It's still going on. But also, more recently, the USS Carl Vinson was the ship that supposedly had the funeral, the Muslim funeral, for what was supposedly Osama bin Laden. Some people think that, first of all, the New York Times wrote that Osama bin Laden died in 2002 of kidney failure. Now, did Osama have a double? Nobody's ever answered that one. That's something to think about because it's been done in World War II. Bernard Montgomery, the field marshal, deputy to Eisenhower, he had a double. They said that Hitler may have had a double. Stalin may have had a double. And so, people, top high-profile figures do have doubles in case there's an attempt to assassinate them. On this day also, talking about World War II and doubles, General Eisenhower, the Supreme Commander in Europe, he selected June 5th for D-Day. However, because of the storms and everything, there was a question of whether they should launch D-Day on June 5th. And because the soldiers and sailors and the ships were in port and, keeping these sailors and the soldiers cramped up on the ships would create a problem and also a security problem. So Eisenhower had advanced weather information that the Germans didn't have, and he decided to take the gamble and launch D-Day on June 6th. In 1948, Soviet Union recognized Israel. Of course, there's that long Jewish heritage connection between the Russian Jews and the ones that went to Israel, or what was known as Palestine at the time. And on this date in 1948, the British government, liberal government, labor government, recognized the Republic of Ireland, which was run by Eamon de Valera. And this is significant. On this date in 1973, the Senate Watergate hearings began. And out at those hearings, one of the junior lawyers just got out of Yale Law School was Hillary Rodham. She wasn't a Clinton then, and she was dismissed because of unethical and duplicitous behavior. Seems nothing has changed with this woman. So that's of interest, should be. That's, we have a short events and deaths on this day. Want to bring up the fact that Chicago is getting trashed at some of the media saying, oh, what's going on in Washington, because Obama, although he wasn't born there, a lot of people, and he have said in print articles he was born in Kenya. call what's going on the Chicago Way. Well, there's Chicago doesn't have a monopoly or the original political corruption mechanism that was that started actually back in Tammany Hall in New York with the Tammany Hall machine back in the 1800s. Pennsylvania had the William Green machine in Philadelphia. In Boston, and the Irish had Michael Curley. In Kansas City, there was the Pendergast machine, of which Harry Truman was part of that. And in today's political history, if you want to call it that, we have in San Francisco what could be called the San Francisco Way, because a unique political corruption is going on out here, which David Fowler, who was a native, who was also the editor of Denial of Disaster, great book about the San Francisco earthquake, which everybody should read. We have the Burton Brown Agnos machine. Burton, I think, is from Ohio. Brown is from Texas, and Agnos is from Massachusetts. And what the difference with the San Francisco Way is that bogus nonprofits, 501c3s, were set up to get federal funds and to get affordable housing, AIDS, things like that, education. And these were politicians and local city, county workers, because this is a county, to set these 501c3s. In order to get these funds, they would pay to play. In other words, they make political campaign contributions to the city officials, in particular the mayor in Agnos's case, which would grant them a favorable review for their application to get federal HUD, Department of Health and Human Services, and education funds that were channeled into the states like California. So this is what went on and still goes on here in San Francisco, and also it's gone on in other cities. Now, we've had the fuss about Bradley Manning, whose mother is English and or British, and he was born, I think, in Oklahoma, joined the U.S. Army and became a communications soldier, or I guess you'd say official. He did the same thing that his predecessor in the U.S. Navy, Michael Walker, U.S. Navy sailor, was on the USS Enterprise. Stole huge bags of communications, naval communications, gave them to his father, who was spying for the Soviets, who got $100,000, really was a pittance. This treachery, this treason, costs the Navy and American security millions of dollars, because now he gave our enemies this information so they could decipher, they could detect, they could listen in on our communications. Now, the thing about Bradley Manning is that he's gay, homosexual, and he had a spat with his lover. It wasn't about political beliefs. He could have brought this, if he thought there was information there that was in violation of the USS Constitution or national security, he could have brought it to the proper congressional committee like Armed Services, Intelligence, but instead he gave it to WikiLeaks and other people. He put our operatives at risk and also diplomats who were engaged and would have been engaged in communications and talks, what they call back channel. Nobody wants to talk to us because the risk of these things being made public, because Bradley Manning decided in a spat that he was going to, you know, tell it all. He wanted to be transgendered. He's got serious mental problems. And had he been in any other military or security, the security services such as the KGB or NKVD, he would have gone to Little Bianca and gotten a bullet in the back of his head. And other services would have done likewise, because this is inexcusable. And for him to be selected as the honorary Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade, which is a lot of public orgy and nudity, sexual acts, all of that, pedophilia, pornography. You know, it's totally disgusting, to say the least. But the issue is the violation of our national security and putting a lot of people at risk. I understand that some of our operatives have been killed, executed, whatever. Next week is Victoria Day, May 20th, and of course, Americans know very little about Canada, So having been educated by French Canadian nuns and brothers, we're going to spend next week in our annual salute to Canada. Oh, Canada, it's going to be called. We will talk about Canadians who have emigrated here legally and some who have emigrated, who have crossed the border illegally. But those who have come here to contribute to our culture, people like Alex Trebek on Jeopardy. We've had Lauren Green with the Cowboy Program. We've had Raymond Massey, Dr. Kildare, all of those programs. A lot of great actors. Mary Pickford, who was born in Toronto. Walter Houston was the father of John Houston. Walter Houston was born in Toronto. John Houston was born in, I think, Nevada. Ireland. John Ireland is born in British Columbia. A lot of people who came down here to contribute to our arts, our entertainment. And then, of course, we have the scandalous case of Kevin Ryan, the guy who said he was lived all his life in San Francisco, but his marriage certificate said he was born in Alberta, Canada, and he was prominent in the railroading, the judicial sodomy of Stephen Erie, U.S. Navy sailor, and this case is still ongoing. So we'll get into that, and there's a lot more history, like John Garrard, the inventor of the Garrard rifle, which was used by the U.S. Army. So something's happened here. I hope this goes through. We've had a slight problem. I just want to play this clip on Mayor Daley, because Richard Daley the first, because a lot of people thought he was stupid. He wasn't. He had a degree in accounting. George Christopher liked him. Chicago, when he was mayor, never had a deficit like many other cities had. He did take control of a machine that was in existence from the death of Anton Cermak. The Irish took it over, the Irish heritage types. Kelly, there was Kennelly, Martin Kennelly, who was a member of my church. I was just a child. And Martin Kennelly was the owner of the warehouse where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre occurred. He was a bachelor, Roman Catholic, and he was a one-term mayor who thought he should be anointed for a second term. Richard Daley had been the finance director of the state of Illinois down in Springfield, and he kept his nose clean. He was in the Adlai Stevenson administration, and he got involved with Chicago politics, Cook County politics. And what he did when he became mayor, after he ran a very close election in 1956, he consolidated the mayor's control over the Cook County Democratic Central Committee. That's where his power came from. But it wasn't the Daley machine. It was the Kelly had got control of it after Anton Cermak, that mayor, was assassinated down in Miami when he was with Franklin Roosevelt. So these are some of the political fictions, but I think I'll pay this clip about Mayor Daley after his 1967 election, one of his last.
I shall embrace charity. I shall love mercy and walk humbly with my God, trying to give the people of Chicago the best government and the best cities in the United States. You can see the future pattern of Chicago. We're hopeful to close streets and residential areas and make malls out of them. We're hoping to have every school with a playground alongside of it. And we're hoping to provide employment and jobs for the men and women that live in our city. And above all, we hope to root out poverty, we hope to eliminate the slums, and we hope to provide equality of education and opportunity for all of our people. And this we think we can achieve, and with the help of God, we will. We respect the constitutional rights and the human rights of everyone, but no one will take the law in their own hand or be law and order in Chicago as long as I'm mayor.
Now, Martin Luther King came up, I remember, in 1966, 67, and he made these statements that infuriated Richard Daley. He said Chicago was the most segregated city in the North. Now, there was a lot of segregation because of the economic situation, the Robert Taylor homes on the near south side of Chicago. Jesse Jackson came up from South Carolina with a letter from the governor of South Carolina to Richard Daley, which said, "Take notice of this young man." Jesse Jackson thought that he should be given a position in the Democratic machine. Richard Daley told him that will get you a job taking tolls on the Illinois toll roads. And, of course, that's scrapped in and of itself. This is what happened, even though Daley probably didn't know about it or knew about it and ignored it. But Jesse Jackson was infuriated, so he started his Operation Push. Now, when I was a federal program analyst, I had to look at Operation Push, and it was in a former Catholic church on the near south side, and all it had was a food stamp operation and a CBC, a Citizens Band radio, set up to reportedly expose a brutality by the Chicago cops against Chicago blacks. And that's all it was. Jesse Jackson, maybe Richard Daley made a mistake and maybe should have gotten him a minor possession. Also, there was a case, I think, of a black policeman named Robinson who gave Daley a hard time about alleged segregation discrimination in the Chicago Police Department. And so what happened with this policeman, he was given a beat behind a police station headquarters on South State Street. So a lot of things happened with Richard Daley. One of the last things that happened in his last administration was the Chicago Symphony got world recognition as the greatest symphony in America. And it was a big parade in Chicago with Sir George Schulte. And, of course, it's a great orchestra. It's one of what they call the Big Five, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Chicago, and sometimes Cleveland. But anyway, Daley is an interesting character. He is the founding father of the Daley family, and his son, Richard Daley Jr., Richard M. Daley, was mayor. He had two other kids. Richard Daley, the first, was a only child. He married Sis. She was of Irish heritage, and they would go to Mass every day. Also, she would bake bread and make ice cream for Richard. So this is a fascinating guy. And a great book, if you want to read a great book about American politics, read Boss by Mike Royko. I hope this works out. We've been having some technical problems lately. But anyway, we're going to end with our theory. Come back Monday. It should be a fun. We hope to have Patrick Butler, one of the last real journalists out of Chicago, 50 years experience. We went to school together. He was ahead of me several years. But anyway, here's our ending. And we'll be back. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. There'll be more videos up there. And we'll be back Monday at 4 o'clock for O Canada. But right now we'll have O Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
little trade's good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Hey, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Pride, I hope when you think of it, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out one.
Well, there are other politicians who belong in jail, and there are people who vote and run for office who may not be citizens. But anyway, we'll deal with that next week in old Canada. This is Peter Paul Bozzola. Have a safe weekend. We've got Beta the Breakers, sometimes Orgy here in San Francisco, and we'll be covering some of that. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night. Have a safe weekend. Okay, oh, mistake there. We'll end.